Besides being the third Sunday after Epiphany, today is also the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. So I'd like to speak about St. Paul's conversion and also about conversion in general. We first read of St. Paul in the Acts of the Apostles. But at that time, his name was Saul, with an S. This is in the Acts of the Apostles, which recounts how St. Stephen, the proto-martyr, the first martyr, was preaching in the synagogue. And he was so eloquent, he was so articulate, proving that Jesus was the Messiah, that the Jews could not hear it. They stopped their ears, they dragged him out, and they stoned him. And it says right there in the Acts of the Apostles that they, you know, when you're going to throw stones, you want to take off your garments so you don't have anything, you know, obstructing your throat. They laid their garments at one young man by the name of Saul. So Saul, later on to become St. Paul, was there to witness the stoning of St. Stephen. Interestingly, Saul was a very, very zealous Jew. And as a zealous Jew, he was going to go after those Christians, round them up, throw them into prison, make sure they get punished, and stop this, what he would consider nonsense. And on his way to Damascus, he was knocked down. And in a vision, he heard the word, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute." Saul, from being a persecutor of the Christians, in an instant became the apostle of the Gentiles. He got baptized the next day, and he was fearless in spreading the faith. When we think of conversions, there are two types. There's a St. Paul conversion that happens right off the bat. Something happens that just, wow, wakes you up. Then there are also conversions that are slow processes. They take time. An example of a slow process conversion would be St. Augustine. St. Augustine lived a very wayward life, and for many years, St. Monica prayed for his conversion. And it came about. But St. Monica is a wonderful example of perseverance in praying for conversion. Instantaneous conversions, they happen, but more likely than not, conversions are a process. I know if you're bored, it is a good story. I like it. Story of somebody involved that I know the family. Several years ago, maybe 8 or 9, one of our young families in Wichita, Kansas, around that area, got in a very, very serious accident. A young mother with her baby and I think 2 or 3 year old, they got hit by a truck, a semi, broadside. Very, very terrible. The 2 or 3 year old died. The mother and the baby survived. But there was something connected with that story, and that is about a mother driving down the road with her daughter, and her daughter's like 19 or 20, but very rebellious. She's involved with drinking and drugs and just hanging around with the wrong crowd. And her mother sees she's going in the wrong direction. So her mother's trying to tell her, "Hey, you gotta change or you're gonna ruin your life, kid." And you know what she tells her mother? "Shut up. I don't want to hear you preaching anymore. Just shut up. I don't want to hear it." And the girl turns to look out the window. "Don't even look at her, mom." The mother, hearing her daughter say that, said, "Dear God, convert my daughter. Change her heart." And at that moment, they came to the intersection. And I remember looking at the picture. A demolished minivan, a truck driver standing, holding his head like, I can't believe just what happened, and his truck's off to the side. And Diane Schutte with her baby shaking in the middle of the intersection, bleeding. The mother who was driving with her rebellious daughter stopped, put it in neutral, or put it in park, I should say, ran out and hugged Diane and said, "What's your name?" She said, "Diane." She says, "Diane, God put me here to help you until the ambulance comes." And she was just trying to console her. The ambulance came and took Diane and took the baby, and I think they had the jaws of life to get out the little boy that died. And that mother with the rebellious daughter, she went back to the van, and she was shaking. She just was like shaking, like she just experienced something so unbelievably tragic. And here she was shaking, and her daughter watched everything. The daughter that was rebellious watched everything, and she grabbed her mom's hand and said, "Mom, I am so, so sorry. I promise you, I'm going to change." And that was a changing time. That was a changing moment for that girl. You know, like, "Shut up, Mom. Don't preach to me, and don't tell me how to do it. And I'm sorry, Mom. I'm going to do it." But you know, it shows that when we pray, God knows. He knows all the circumstances, all the situations in advance. And sometimes when we pray and things don't seem to be answered, like, "My prayers aren't any good." No, it's not the case. God knows that if He gives the graces at this moment, maybe not when we want, but when He knows, it's the most advantageous time for them to accept those graces and be converted. God knows those things. We don't know. When we think of conversions, how important it is that we pray for the conversion of sinners. That's what Our Lady asked for at Fatima. She lamented so many souls go to hell because there's no one to pray and to sacrifice for them. And also when we're praying for someone, praying for the conversion, let us offer up sacrifices too. It might be that inconvenience or that headache or that, you know, unforeseen difficulty or frustration that occurred. You carry your cross, you offer it up for the conversion of sinners. Joined with prayer, that is the ingredients, that's the recipe, because you know what? Conversions will not happen unless people have God's grace. Not only to know what they need to do, you know, a lot of people know what they're supposed to do, just don't have the courage to do it, but to be able to do it as well. And I would also say, too, we should never give up on anybody. In fact, Ananias, he was in Damascus, and the Lord appeared to Ananias and said that Saul is going to come visit you. Now you think Ananias would say, "Sure, yeah, right." No, he said, "Lord, I heard a lot about this man, that he persecutes us Christians, and he goes after our brethren everywhere." And Saul, Ananias was trying to tell the Lord, "Hey, you know about him, right?" "Of course our Lord knew." He said, "No, he will be a vessel of election." How many times in our own lives we look at people like, "Duh, there's no way. There's no way they're going to come around. They are so gone. They are so far-fetched. They are so out of it. Not going to happen to them." I mean, we unconsciously may say that. You know, when Jesus was dying on the cross, you can look at those two bad thieves up there. They're thieves. They probably murdered people. You know, they're hopeless. And yet that moment of grace came for the good thief. He heard Jesus' words, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." His moment of grace came. And all that he did is, and with contrition in his heart, he looked at the cross and said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou wilt enter into thy kingdom." From the cross, this man was forgiven and promised paradise. We never give up on anybody. Pray and sacrifice for the members. This is what Our Lady asked for at Fatima. And if it was true in 1917, how much more in 2026? Pray for the conversion of sinners. Pray and sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice can we offer up? Especially the sacrifice of our daily duty. How many of us in life have to go through a daily grind? Get up in the morning, go to work, get up in the morning, clean the house, do the dishes, do the laundry, take care of the kids. You kids going to school, get up in the morning, go to school. The daily grind of school, homework. Not easy. But you know, if you offer up your sacrifice of daily duty, you can help bring about the conversion of sinners. Plus, and I say plus, you've got to back it up with prayer too. Prayer and sacrifice. And also, let us remember this too, God may make us an instrument to bring a conversion about. It might be a good example. It might be a kindly word or act of kindness that we do for someone. Or it be someone asks us about the faith, and we make the time and explain it to them. So let us also be attentive to opportunities. These opportunities that God knows that He can use us as an instrument so that moment of grace comes for them. But whatever conversion be, if it be like a St. Paul conversion or a St. Augustine conversion, most importantly, it's a matter of God's grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.